This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is another podcast of Worldwide Wave, the international LGBT news and current affairs show, every week on Australia's first LGBT radio station, Joy 94.9.
Surfing the globe, bringing you news, views, and current affairs for the LGBT community. This is the Worldwide Wave.
It is indeed. It's your weekly fix of international LGBT news and current affairs. We take you around the globe one country at a time. I'm Matt, and tonight in the studio, Damien is here.
Hello.
Hello, Tom.
Hey.
Dean's here too.
G'day, Matt.
Now, beginning as a protest march in New York City to commemorate the Stonewall riots, pride marches are now being held right around the world. For some, it's a celebration. For others, it's a protest. But all have become an international symbol of defiance and hope for the LGBT community. In the afterglow of Melbourne's annual Pride March in St Kilda on the weekend, tonight we explore the Pride Marches of the world.
How can two neighbouring countries have polar opposite experiences in their Pride Marches?
What drove a straight married man to want to capture different Pride experiences on film?
And what do Pride events all have in common? Waving our Pride flags and placards with us tonight are Romana Slashinger from Rainbow Pride Bratislava in Slovakia, Czeslaw Walek, the chairman of Prague Pride, and Charles Meacham, a US photographer that has captured extraordinary images from Pride marches around the world. Here's a taste of what you've got coming up tonight.
And then what happened is that we went to Belarus and Moscow Pride, and that kind of changed everything, because that opened their eyes to, like, in countries, in areas where they're still fighting for their basic rights. Just to have a Pride, you know, there'll be thousands of protesters, from neo-Nazis to, you know, right-wing conservative religious groups. And that really blew my mind and changed the direction that we went in.
Worldwide Wrap, LGBT news from around the world, scanning the globe for stories for the diverse gay and lesbian communities, from Australia's Joy 94.9. This is the Worldwide Wrap.
So we're avoiding the much US news that has been coming out this week.
It's an easy target, though, I've got to tell you.
Honestly, my news feed has been just been zipping by. What can I say?
We'll let it zip and we'll try some other places around the world.
That's it. We're starting off in Lebanon. So Lebanon is moving one step closer to actually decriminalizing homosexuality due to a landmark legal case. Now, in the case, a judge in Lebanon has conceded homosexuality should not be an offense. Judge Rabi Malouf declared that homosexuality is a personal choice and not a punishable offence last week. The ruling referenced Article 183, which states an act undertaken in exercise of a right without abuse shall not be regarded as an offence. And this simply means that if you're exercising your freedoms and not hurting anyone, there's no crime.
So technically, homosexuality is still illegal. But I guess this case, and again, it's just where the law courts are taking the lead here. It's setting the tone for how the law is interpreted.
Exactly. Now, although Lebanon is, of course, in our favourite place, the Middle East, people caught in breach of the law are technically punishable for up to 1 year in prison. The actual enforcement of the law varies from place to place in Lebanon. Now, a report released in 2015 titled As Long As They Stay Away highlights the attitudes towards homosexuality. It is still quite dangerous to be openly LGBTI in Lebanon. The report found that 64.6% of survey respondents felt that LGBTI people should not be accepted into society.
Now, danger. I'm sorry, you don't know danger there. Brazil. In Brazil, one LGBTI person is murdered every 25 hours.
That's not good.
Scary stuff. It's a shocking number that's come out of the gay group of Bahai, and as a part of their annual survey. They've been doing this survey for about 30-odd years, which is quite remarkable. But basically, over the last 12 months, they've registered 343 deaths, which are directly connected to homophobic, biphobic, and transphobic issues or violence. 173 gay men, 144 trans people, which is really high, I thought, 10 lesbians and 4 bisexuals.
And they also identified 12 victims as straight. Now, some of those had been in relationships with trans or bisexual people, and others died because of close ties to the LGBTI community. For example, one straight man was killed on Christmas Day at a San Paolo subway station after he defended a gay man and a trans person.
And this number is actually even probably an underestimate because of the way crime statistics are collected. They often don't ask, identify if it's a hate crime or identify if there's sexuality as a part of the crime. Now, we should also mention Brazil is the murder capital of the world, full stop. So they have 160 homicides a day. It's like up there in war-torn Syria. It's crazy stuff. Now, 2017, they're already, in the first 22 days of 2017, already tracking at 23 LGBTI people who have been murdered.
And they're just the ones we know about.
And now over to Tunisia, where a teenager is currently behind bars for the crime of being trans. The 19-year-old woman has been sentenced to 4 months in prison on the grounds of harm to good morals. According to her lawyer, she was arrested in November of last year while celebrating at a Halloween party.
Shocking.
She was dressed up at a Halloween party and she's been arrested.
Yep, can't have fun. The lawyer says she was arrested for wearing women's clothing. He also claims police took her to the station, then tortured, humiliated and ridiculed her. The woman was later set free until being called into court on 19th of January and sentenced to 4 months behind bars, according to local media.
Now, she wasn't given an option to go, released on bail and, lodge an appeal or anything. She was behind bars because the sentence came into action immediately.
And after being tortured, humiliated and ridiculed, she was then charged with insulting an official during the performance of their duties.
Harm to good morals, ostentatious demonstration of behaviour contrary to modesty. Most of the trans people I know would wear that badge with pride, I think.
Cross to Poland.
Yes. Now, if you're holding your breath waiting for same-sex marriage or marriage equality, as we prefer to call it, to be made legal in Poland, don't. One president has absolutely ruled it out. President Andrzej Duda has struck down the idea his country will ever legalize marriage equality. He says the country will unequivocally never have it. I unequivocally repeat, marriage in accordance with the Polish constitution is a union between a man and a woman. Where have we heard that before? He also accused other countries of trying to force marriage equality onto the country. Where have we heard that before? In a remarkable attack, he said international organizations, various lobby groups, but also some European countries have been trying to force the measure on Poland. So there.
Now, he does come from a deeply conservative, the Law and Justice Party, and they have many anti-LGBTI views. So kick him out.
Moving on to In Brief, trans people in Sweden will no longer be classified as mentally ill after the National Board of Health and Welfare acted upon the World Health Organization's decision to remove trans identity from their list of mental health issues.
California is the first US state to introduce a bill that would create a third gender option for non-binary and intersex people.
And in India, a trans model has appeared at Indian Fashion Week for the very first time ever. That's progress.
That's a wrap.
That's your Worldwide Wrap. Keep up with LGBT news from around the world throughout the week. Like us on Facebook, World Wide Wave, or visit joy.org.au/worldwidewave.
Hi, I am Fernando from Guadalajara, Mexico, and you are listening to Worldwide Wave on Joy 94.9.
Now, we've had a message in on Facebook, actually, to do with that the Poland story we were talking about, where the president has unequivocally several times to say that they'll never have marriage equality. William says, never say never, mate. That's telling him.
Well, he won't be running the country forever, will he?
Exactly.
Taking you around the globe, one country at a time. This is your Fun Fast Facts.
We're looking at Pride events all around the world. Let's kick off in our own hometown because the Melbourne Pride March was held on the weekend in St Kilda. I was there. Great turnout. Really great turnout and great job to congratulations to all the Joy team that were down there putting on the broadcast. So that Pride event started in 1996 and it's pretty much, about 11,000 participants they're estimating. The year it started was the year after there had been a whole lot of police raids on a gay nightclub and police brutality.
Yes, it was the year after the Tasty Raid.
The Tasty Raid.
The infamous Tasty Raid.
But from that grew, I guess a lot of these marches do come out of protest as well, as did Sydney's Pride Parade, the Sydney Gay and Lesbian Mardi Gras.
Which, of course, came after a year of police violence again. And, yeah, it was a reaction to that. But that started much earlier. That was the first march was in June 1978.
So it's a protest in 78, and then they sort of turned it into an actual march, and then it just got more colourful, and then it got on TV, and, well, where's it gone? And it's coming up. It's coming up this first Saturday in March, so very, very shortly.
Of course, the first Pride March full stop started in 1970 in New York City. The Christopher Street Liberation Day Committee, they held a protest march to commemorate the Stonewall Riots. And by the time they reached Central Park, the number had reached 2,000. And inspired spectators joined the march and, you know, come one, come all. I guess New York's a bit like that.
And, of course, this is in an environment where homosexuality is illegal. There were
shock treatments, sterilisation, even lobotomies.
And police cracking down on, you know, doing raids on all sorts of anything gay, really. They would come out and raid.
Yeah.
So that was the environment.
The New York Police Department does not muck around, that's for sure.
Now, the biggest pride parade in the world, do you know where that is?
Well, we actually mentioned this country a little bit earlier in the show.
We did. Brazil. Sao Paulo, which is the capital of Brazil. No, it's not the capital. It's
the capital is
city.
Brasilia.
That's right, sorry. Any case, Brasilia doesn't have the biggest gay pride, right? 2 million people attend Sao Paulo Pride each
year.
Well,
I'd like to think that Melbourne could beat that at some point in the future.
We'll work on that. One of the ones I love the most is Amsterdam Pride, because it's on water. It's called Canal Pride, or a nickname, I guess, for Canal Pride. And all the floats are on water, and they go down the canals, and people all line the canals and the bridges over and cheer, and it goes on for kilometres.
I don't think anyone will be gasping in shock to hear that the biggest pride in Europe is in Spain.
Yes, Spain.
No surprise there. And, of course, in Russia, pride is banned.
Banned.
No pride there. Now, there have been some prides in Africa. The continent of Africa has had 4 countries that allow pride: Mauritius, South Africa, Cape Verde, which is probably the smallest one, and Uganda, which had a pride, which, you know, that's pretty bloody impressive given what Uganda is like for the LGBTI community.
We are impressed.
Hi, it's Todd Sears, founder of Out Leadership, and excited to be discussing driving LGBTI inclusion on the worldwide wave.
In the afterglow of Melbourne's Pride March, and with the Sydney Gay and Lesbian Mardi Gras just around the corner tonight, we're looking at the world of Pride marches. After the fall of the USSR, the Central European country of Czechoslovakia peacefully split into two. One half is Slovenská republika, or Slovakia, and we spoke to Romana Schlesinger from the Rainbow Pride Bratislava. And when we spoke to them, they just finished their Pride event. We asked Romana how their event went.
Well, this was very unusual Pride for us because it was the 5th Pride in Slovakia, and we were actually the last country within the European Union who started to held Pride events. And since we've been reacting on the absence of the law for the same-sex couples and other types of discrimination, this year was very special because we actually had to react on going backwards on the law, since about a month ago we had passed a very unusual constitution change which defined the marriage as an exclusive bonds between one man and woman, which is a step backwards. And though this year we chose the motto for the Pride that said "Come out with your family," and I think it was the most successful Pride. Although it was very sad because we're in the Central Europe, we're a member state of European Union. And we are going backwards. I mean, our government is going backwards on the question.
In choosing your theme for this year's Pride, Come Out With The Family, is that a part of your strategy, your message to let people know that gay people have families too?
Yes, because we wanted to show our families as well. We wanted to show other families, because the constitutional change, it happened only taken off same-sex families of the picture and of the constitution, and also took off all the divorced, all the widowed, all the single parents, all the people who are heterosexual but are not married and bonded by the marriage. And I think by doing this, we gained support of other groups that we haven't had in the past.
What's your vision for the future for Slovakia and the LGBTI scene?
Well, we are definitely going to fight the constitution, and hopefully this will change. And we will need a lot of international support. Also, the partnership law is not happening, and if the family law is not happening for us, we still have lots of things and lots of changes to do.
Romana Schlesinger from Rainbow Pride in Slovakia. Shortly, we look at a very different side to the same coin, Pride in the Czech Republic. This is the World Wide Wave.
Hi, I'm Bisi Alimi, and I'm fighting for LGBT rights of people in Nigeria. It's great to know we have friends and supporters like you at Joy 94.9.
So charismatic, like easily one of the best guests we've ever had.
Smooth voice. Yep.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but still follow him on Facebook, actually. He's a great great advocate for LGBT rights around the globe. And that's what we do here on Worldwide Wave with Damien, Tom, Dean and myself, Matt, tonight. A message in. Thanks, Florence. It's a shout-out, actually. Can you wish Pete and Douglas a happy honeymoon? They're having their own pride moment. How fabulous. Yes, indeed, we can. And another one, happy pride, people. Thanks, 317. Do you think pride is inhabited by too many cisgendered white males on a board level who have lost touch with their grassroots Gen Y cousins?
Whoa,
flamethrowers are out.
This kitten's got claws.
Will pride exist in the next 10 years? Hey, good question.
That is a good
question. Do you think
it's got
a time limit on it? I mean, I look at something like Mardi Gras or any of these that come out of protest and turn into celebration. They don't seem to be going away.
Now, tonight is, of course, all about pride, and our next guest is Charles Meacham. He's a straight, married American who takes a mean photo. He chose to travel the world, capturing the pleasure and the pain of gay pride parades. He showed his exhibition of powerful images in Melbourne last year, and we started by asking Charles why he decided to take on this project.
The funny thing is that my wife, we were reading the newspaper, we were living in Taiwan at the time, and my wife had read that the pride was coming up the next week, and I'd never been to a pride before. You know, so I was like, I'll go, because we were following the news in America, especially because at that time it was the don't ask, don't tell. And our politicians, I was really getting pissed off because they were saying one thing and doing another. It just didn't make any sense to me. So I was like, I'll go down and check out the pride. And I just thought, once I went to that pride, you know, there was a Taipei Pride is kind of a big party and everything, but there are some, you know, civil rights agendas out there. And then I thought, around the world, there's all the LGBT communities, of course, all around the world. And I was wondering how they were similar or different in different cultures. So I just wanted to go and see for it, you know, and check it out.
I guess there's lots of things that you could photograph, but pride marches, which on the whole are this mix of protest and celebration. Why was that particularly appealing to you?
Well, you know, it's funny because when it first started, you know, like I said, the Taipei Pride is held on Halloween. It's a party. The people were, you know, they loved being photographed. It was a community that I was not familiar with, so it was all new to me. And all the bright costumes and everything were just great for photography. So when we made the plan to go on, at first, it was like we were going to, like, Paris Pride, you know, Berlin Pride. And then what happened is that we went to Belarus and Moscow Pride. So we went to Minsk and Moscow Pride, and that kind of changed everything because that opened their eyes to, like, in countries, in areas where they're still fighting for their basic rights. Just to have a pride, you know, there'll be thousands of protesters from neo-Nazis to, you know, right-wing conservative religious groups. And that really blew my mind and changed the direction that we went in with the Walford Pride project, that we tried to go to the smaller prides, mainly in Eastern Europe after that. I don't like anyone telling me what to do with my life, you know, so when I would go and I would talk to these protesters, basically there are a lot of young people out there, and they're super young, intelligent, and they're fighting for something that a lot of us, you know, just take for granted. And that really moved me. And they were very open with me about their lives, about the challenges they faced. And I was just, you know, I was blown away by it, to tell you the truth. I mean, it's because I like to talk very openly about it, about coming from, you know, I'm straight, I'm married. I'm coming from this background where I didn't have a lot of interaction with the LGBT community. I just had this feeling that I was always for them, but I never really, you know, was involved in it or anything before this. And when you go and you meet people and you see their struggle, I mean, it's really inspiring, to tell you the truth. I was just really inspired by a lot of these people that were like, that weren't afraid to go into a mix of protesters or to really stand up for their rights. It really blew us away how dedicated they were.
You have covered a very wide array, and as we mentioned, the positive and the more challenging Pride events. From what you saw through the lens, do they have a commonality?
The commonality between all of them is that the people that are fighting for their rights are just amazingly decent people. You know, when you go and you talk to them, and when you meet students that have been kicked out of universities because of their sexual orientation, or they've lost their jobs, or they've been thrown out of their home by their parents, and you talk to them, and they're still this kind, open person, and, you know, and you're just, I mean, that's the thing. Every time we went to a different city, we would meet groups of people that just had some really, you know, hard stories or really inspiring stories. And it was amazing that was the common thread between, no matter where they were, if it was in, you know, from Istanbul to Sydney. It was such a life experience for me and my wife to venture through this and to get to meet so many people we never would have met before and to hear their stories.
As a photographer, you're able to hear their stories when you're interacting with them, but you've got to try and capture that in one image. How do you do that?
Yeah, it's hard because you're trying not to be so, you know, noisy. You're trying not to be disruptive, you know. And this was really the first time that I had ventured out on like a journalism kind of story like this. I mean, it was all new to me as well, like staying with someone, staying with activists, like living with them. You know, luckily, again, they were kind enough to, they wanted their story told. You just have your camera with you all the time, and you're with them all the time. And then a lot of times when people photograph, you know, in this area, it's the sex. They always want to get like this, you know, if it's someone in the transgender community, there's always something sexual. I didn't really want to focus that on so much. I was more interested in their activism.
Which of the Pride marches you visited most inspire you?
Well, you know, I talk a lot when we go back to about Belarus and Russia. And I talk a lot about them because they were, I would say, you know, maybe in Croatia, you know, they're most physically challenging because the police are there. They're going to arrest you. You're living in safe houses, you know, right before the Pride. And I've talked a lot about them, and I'm still friends with them, everyone from over Facebook. But I would have to say the transgender community and each one, like when we did the first Trans Pride in Istanbul, and it was just an amazing group of women. And when we went around, it was always, I can't say one Pride was better than the other because it was just, each one was, you know, had their own different set of people, but each one had seen that there was the trans community was really in the forefront. Again, that was a culture that I had no idea about. So now that I had, and just some of the best people that I met along the way. I just came off with such a respect and a totally new understanding and empathy for people in that community, because it's like a subculture of a subculture of a subculture, you know. Just really strong people, beautiful people.
Charles Meacham from the USA, capturing the power and the passion of Pride events around the world in images. You are, of course, listening to World Wide Wave on Joy 94.9.
We're talking all things Pride tonight. I loved, when we spoke to Charles, I loved his passion and his honesty, I guess, in that he was a straight guy, married, really knew nothing, you know, supported the community, didn't have anything against gay people. Went along to his first Pride parade and went, wow, this is actually really exciting. This is, and people are really passionate and there's inspiring stories.
I think Stand Up Straight would refer to him as an ally.
An ally, absolutely. I mean, we need more allies like this. And then he turned that into a photographic project and went around the world. And again, he sort of started thinking, hey, I'm going to, you know, get all these colourful photos and great people having parties. And then he went to Belarus and went, whoa, hang on, this is different.
Europe's last dictatorship.
And one of the challenges. It's always been that fine line, even going to things like Sydney Gay and Lesbian Mardi Gras, that balance between spectacle and support. So the people that are coming along and lining the parade and cheering on, are they supporting the LGBT community or are they watching a show? What do you think?
They could be doing both in some cases. Yeah, I think, you know, whatever, you know, I think there's positives all around. Sort of the more visibility we have, the more normalcy there is, if that's a word. It's applied
to us. I don't
think
it is, but I think, you know, we'll nominate that for the dictionary
it is
next
now.
Year.
It that's is it. Now.
Pride marches are quite often a trigger. The kind of lighting the fuse. So when you get these very oppressive countries, and you mentioned Uganda before, and that's a great example, terrible, terrible laws, but still there's a group of people who will march in defiance publicly, risk so much more. I mean, it's not like here or, you know, even Australia in its early stages was nothing compared to what would happen in a place like Uganda, and they'll risk all that.
It is important to remember that what to us might seem a little bit old hat, other countries are looking on with envy and can't wait to reach the stage where they can have a pride march or the equivalent and people are going, oh, again, yawn. You know, it's, you know, whereas over there, it's in many countries, it's unthinkable that it could even happen.
Last week in Canada, in Toronto, Toronto Pride voted to ban police from this year's parade. And this sort of came out of a move by the Black Lives Matter entrance into the parade, which was then backed by a whole lot of supporters. It got me thinking about the Mardi Gras ban as well. So Mardi Gras voted originally, the membership voted to ban our Prime Minister from attending.
Well,
do you think we should be banning people who maybe certainly from the Toronto police may actually be allies?
Well, it's important to note that they didn't actually ban Prime Minister Turnbull from attending. They just weren't going to send him an invite that was an official invite.
That's right. He could still rock up. He just didn't get into the VIP.
Exactly.
No canapes.
And he was quite, you know, he was sort of nonplussed about the whole thing. He owns half of Sydney.
Didn't like marriage equality bill?
Yeah, that's it. He's still going to show up whether he's welcome or not. In Toronto, the Black Lives Matter members stopped the parade in July and they staged a sit-down protest. And it ended when the Pride Toronto executive director signed a document agreeing to the list of demands. So even in a country that's very gay-friendly or LGBTI-friendly like Canada, which has had marriage equality for more than a decade, it's still controversial. You can still, you know, there's still some fire in there.
A couple of messages coming in. Jamie, thanks for your two messages there and your song. We're going to put that on in a minute, actually. Great suggestion. Now, Jamie also says Sydney is no longer a pride march. It's just an excuse for a party.
People have been saying that since the 90s, though.
They do. I mean, they do. There's always a political aspect to it.
Well, you're from Sydney.
I'm from Sydney.
Would you agree with that?
It is a big party, but you know, as I said, there's usually a political aspect to it. Florence says, in responding to a great response from 317, as always, our groups are more niche through university and law societies or other professional bodies. So this is about getting that gender and sexual orientation mix in organisations like Pride organisations and that sort of thing. Thanks for that, Florence. We are talking all things Pride tonight here on World Wide Wave.
Want to hear more? Find out about LGBT life in over 100 countries. Download free podcasts of this show. Subscribe to iTunes or follow us on Twitter. Visit joy.org.au/worldwidewave.
Hi, I'm Amikon Hovsepian. I work for Pink Armenia, and our organization deals with LGBT issues here for the worldwide wave.
Messages coming in. Thanks for these. Very exciting tonight. Complacency isn't healthy either, as we have seen with the hate crime recently in Melbourne. We take too many rights for granted, and Trump has woken us from our privilege. Do you think the world's awake now? Certainly waking up with all those protests.
Certainly
in America.
Woken up to.
Well, 317 says my claws are out, but with a cherry on top. And Sam says pride should be a state of being, not a physical presence.
It's very zen, isn't it?
That is. We like that, Sam.
The other half of former Czechoslovakia is much more progressive in LGBT rights. Prague Pride is the biggest in the region of Eastern Europe, and we asked their chairman, Czeslaw Wolik, to tell us a bit about the event and the political support for the Pride event.
So we have more than 100 events that people can attend. I think one of my favorites could be, well, opening event. It's a great open-air concert on Monday that people can hear the Czech upcoming stars, but also Omar Sharif Jr., our main international guest, will welcome everyone at the opening. The other event that I would like to invite people to is Pride Voices, which is our talk show of individuals that are changing the LGBT lives in the Czech Republic or around the world. And we have a Chinese activist from organization which is called iBuy joining us, Jacob Wang. We have a founder of Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence from San Francisco joining us. And of course, then everyone should look forward to our parade on Saturday, which is going through the center of Prague. And it's really like Prague is turning to rainbow colors, and this is magic happening. And after the parade, we have an open-air concert with three stages, and the festivities are going on till early morning on Sunday.
With the progress that has been made in the Czech Republic, do you also feel a responsibility to help drive change in other parts of Eastern Europe?
You know, I definitely believe that this is like a snowball effect. Once one country starts progress, the other countries sooner or later will follow. And I believe that this will be the same with the Czech Republic and with surrounding countries. And we do invite guests from Eastern Europe to our festival, and many of them are coming back to their countries and are energized and driving for change. We do submit projects to the European Commission with partnership in other countries like Slovakia, Poland, or Slovenia. So we cooperate with the activists from Eastern Europe heavily. And I believe that once the change comes to our country, it will be like a snowball effect with other countries in the region.
That's Czeslaw Wolik, the chairman of Prague Pride. I'm truly fascinated that Czechoslovakia split and the Czech side is just forging ahead with their LGBT rights and having great big pride parades, and Slovakia is struggling and even going backwards, and you know, trying to, you know, their pride march is really a protest. Crazy stuff.
It's amazing how different cultures can be when physically they're actually not that very far away from each other.
Exactly. Sam says that he's into philosophy at uni. It's not Zen, but he's glad you like it. Did want to touch on just really quickly. We've been talking a bit about the Mardi Gras in Sydney, and Joy's got a great competition that can take you there. So basically, you give a donation of $5 or increments of, and each $5 increment puts you into the draw for your flights to Sydney with Virgin Australia. Airbnb provides you accommodation, and GoGet drives you around in style.
And there's no limit on entries, so you can enter as many times as you like, and the more you enter, the higher your chance of winning.
And you get to watch the parade from the very high perch that Joy has. We've got a little special area. We'll be broadcasting again there this year, and you're up there with us as a part of the broadcast, watching all the festivities. It's going to be very, very exciting. So all you do, go to the Joy website, joy.org.au. multiples of $5. Don't just put in $5.
Rubbing
one
shoulders
entry is just
with
not
Prime Minister Turnbull while he sort of, you know, hugs
Maybe
his
we
wife.
We should take water bombs. I don't know. We are talking all things Pride on Worldwide Wave. Joy 94.9.
Receive LGBT news from around the world throughout the week. Like Worldwide Wave on Facebook now.
This is Dede Utomo from Kayana Santara in Surabaya, Indonesia, speaking on Worldwide Wave.
One last message. Thanks, Jamie. You don't have to look very far for an example of neighbouring countries taking a different route, e.g. New Zealand and here. Smackdown! Thank you to all of our guests tonight. Romana Schlesinger from Rainbow Pride Bratislava in Slovakia, Charles Meacham, photographer extraordinaire from the USA, and Czesław Wallach, the chairman of Prague Pride.
Don't forget about Facebook. That's W3Joy, and we post news stories all week long. And thank you to everyone who interacted with us on Facebook over the past week.
And a big thanks to our podcaster, Mark, for allowing you to listen to this whenever you want. And, of course, on the front desk, Gordon.
And all those messages we've had in tonight, fantastic. Love hearing from our peeps out there. Some music to take us out with Pride.
That's right. So we're finishing off with another gay Pride classic. It's Closer to Fine by the Indigo Girls.
Catch you next week on Worldwide Wave.
And the best thing you ever done for me is to help me take my life less seriously.
Thanks for listening to another podcast from Worldwide Wave, the show that takes you around the globe, one country at a time. Worldwide Wave is the international news and current affairs show on Australia's LGBT radio station, Joy 94.9. You can listen live every Tuesday night from 7 p.m. Eastern Australian Time on 94.9 FM in Melbourne and online at joy.org.au. You'll find all our podcasts at joy.org.au/worldwide wave, or follow us on Facebook for the latest international LGBT news. Search W3 Joy on Facebook now.
A little less straight than other radio stations. Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.